And we're back here with Talk of the Town. 395-1450 is our number. Our guest right here today, now, at this moment, Cindy Gameret. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Cindy is running for the House in Bob Janetsky's, for Bob Janetsky's seat, who is term limited, so the seat is open. Cindy, tell us a little bit about yourself. You live in Plainwell, is that right?
I do. I have three children. I have twins that are 17 and a 14-year-old, and married to my high school sweetheart for 18 years now. His name is Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What decided you to run for the House?
My father grew up in Germany and lived as a little boy under Hitler and immigrated to the United States after World War II. And so when I was growing up, liberty and freedom was always very important to our family.
Mm-hmm.
And we understood that freedom wasn't free. And so about 5 years ago, I kind of woke up and saw what I thought was an overreach of government into our lives and our businesses with TARP. And getting involved in private industry like the auto industry.
Right.
And I just knew that doesn't happen in America, and that was encroaching on our freedoms. And so I started getting involved in, at that time, reading legislation, understanding our Constitution and our rights.
So all your thoughts about Germany kind of weighed in on this decision.
Well, I think it compelled me to act because I care and I'm concerned about the nation and state that we're leaving behind for my children and grandchildren
yeah.
and our future generations. And so it's just one thing kept leading to another. And I would talk to my representatives and senators and read legislation and started advocating for and against it, going to Lansing for a number of state committee hearings and votes. And so it's something, freedom and liberty is something I'm very concerned about, and the state and nation we're leaving behind for our children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the direction of our nation, spiritually, morally, fiscally, all of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you want to get in there and do something about it?
I do, and I feel called to do it, and I also feel responsible. You know, I think we're called to be good stewards of what we've been given, and our nation has been blessed with liberty and a government that is of the people. And
mm-hmm.
so I believe as Americans, it's our responsibility to make sure we're good stewards of that, and we pass that on to our future generations.
How old are your kids?
My twins are 17. And my youngest is 14.
They would not be a problem at all as far as getting in the House.
I've homeschooled them all their life, and they started their college classes. My twins did last year at Cornerstone University, and they're great, fantastic kids. This campaign has been really a family endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
They've been helping in every way, knocking on doors, making calls, and heading up the campaign, and so they're actually really excited about it. It was a year ago this weekend when we talked about it as a family, and we've helped a lot of other candidates over the years, and so they said, oh, finally, Mom, we get to knock on doors for us, and they've knocked
yeah.
on so many doors for,
yeah.
for other candidates. So,
yeah. So what would you like to see done in Lansing? What would you like to have a hand in doing?
Yeah, well, a couple different things. I believe in life. I'm 100% pro-life, and I believe that the most vulnerable life should be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to sponsor a Life at Conception Act. It's not something I just am saying. It's something I plan on doing if I get into the state house. And so that's important to me. That would save about 23,000 Michigan babies a year. So that's one of the big things I would like to do. I would also go in there, and I'm a firm believer in local control of our education. And there's been a lot of push over the years. It started with the Obama administration with Race for the Top and money set aside for states that signed on to Common Core. And I would push against that and fight against Common Core and fight for local control for,
mm-hmm.
for our teachers and students and schools.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the economy is very concerning to me. What happens is I see a lot of students, and my kids are about to enter that, you know, they're entering that job,
right.
job market. I don't want them to have to move out of state to find a job to raise their families. I want to be by my grandkids, and I know many other people do too. And so the economy is important to me. I talk to a lot of business owners. Regulations and taxes are still a concern in Michigan. I'd like to help make Michigan more business friendly. Right now, Michigan is one of the most regulated states in the nation. And so I'd like to go in there and cut back on some of those regulations and taxes and make Michigan more business friendly
mm-hmm.
to help our economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed like you've got a whole list of things that you would like to do.
I do. I'm not, you know, I'm not going in there for a title or, you know, to be a warm seat. I'm going in there because I'm passionate about it, and I'm passionate about doing something that is going to leave Michigan a better state, you mm-hmm. know, for our families.
Mm-hmm. And how about your family? Are they all they're all for it. You mentioned that, huh?
Yeah, they are. They're really excited
that's
about
great.
It. Yeah, and they've been kind of my campaign team. My campaign, it's been an incredible experience this last year. It's really been a blessing. I've knocked on personally over 6,000 doors between my family and volunteers. We've hit probably about 20,000 doors in Allegan County. And, you know, we're not independently wealthy. And so this is a grassroots endeavor, you know. So my husband and my son have been my campaign managers. And taking care of all the things, you know, from signs and designing our mailers. Our mailers that we've sent out, we've tried really hard to be transparent about where we stand on the issues and informative. And so it's really been a family endeavor. And we have a lot of teenagers, too, that are helping our campaign. So it's really been a neat experience to this David and Goliath, you know, setup. So
what are the things floating around in Lansing now that you have taken an interest in?
A couple different things. You hear about part-time legislature, and that didn't make it on the ballot for the people to decide. I was actually collecting signatures for that. I'm a supporter of part-time legislature. Michigan is one of the only four states that have a full-time legislature with California, Pennsylvania, New York. So I would support that effort in legislature next year, which would cut us down to, I think it's 3 months a year and cut our pay in half. And I think that's a good thing. I think the legislators should be in district more instead of in Lansing surrounded by lobbyists. So I would be for that. I would be for, like I said, the life issue. I think we need a champion in there for life. And that's something I would strongly advocate for. Roads, they're talking about needing to fix roads. I think that we need to cut, you know, when I look at the budget, and a lot of people ask about different spending items, first I start with the Constitution because that's what the state is responsible for. That's been given to the state by the people. And roads and infrastructure are in our Constitution. And I think that should get prioritization within the budget. You know, when I do my family budget at home, I pay my mortgage and utilities before I go buy a boat, you know.
Yeah.
And we have so many other things that, you know, are being provided for in our roads and infrastructure is not. Mm-hmm. You know, trails, beautification projects, green buses, those kinds of things. I think roads and infrastructure should get the priority. And so I would go in there to try to be an advocate for prioritizing our budget and making sure we take care of the stuff that we're responsible for in the Constitution first and foremost.
I always said that the average housewife could probably do a better job on the budget than Congress.
Amen. Amen. Yep. And I know how to cut coupons, and I know how to form a budget that works out in the end and doesn't leave you in a deficit.
And we got a caller here. Yes, you're on the line with Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
I've been meaning to ask you, how long have you lived in Allegan County?
I've lived in Allegan County about 4 years now. Born and raised in Michigan and went to school at University of Michigan. My husband, I've known him since sixth grade, actually, and he went to school at Western Michigan University. He works in the paper industry. I'm a registered nurse. And so he is servicing the Kalamazoo Graphic Packaging Mill right now. He's a chemical provider for paper mills.
Only 4 years old.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we love Allegan. This is our home. This is where we are planted and where we're here to stay. And that goes back to that economy. You know, it's been rough in Michigan, especially in the paper industry, and I know many other industries. I have family that's in the auto industry as well, and we have been hit really, really hard, and it has forced families to have to move around, and sometimes families to move out of Michigan.
All industries have, not just paper.
No, that's what I said, all industries, including auto and paper and others.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
I thought that was Randy.
You recognized his voice?
I did. I recognized his voice, yeah.
Okay. And, the road thing we were getting into a little bit, what would you suggest for financing the roads? This is a bad problem.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, again, it's in the Constitution, so it should be earmarked, You know, yeah. I think funds should be earmarked to that within the budget currently. But also, you look at the gas tax, and many people think that the majority of the gas tax goes to pay for roads. And so I think we should look at that, you know, a certain percentage of the gas tax to be earmarked to the roads. So I think there's a variety of ways you can actually approach it. You know, when you look at our state budget, there are a few things that are concerning to me. One is that 40% of the budget is federally funded. And when I look at that, I think, you know, first of all, the federal government, it runs trillion-dollar deficits every year. You know, that money is printed and borrowed. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel comfortable with that. And two is who's going to control your state then when the federal government is about half of that budget?
Yeah.
And so that's concerning to me. But you look at our budget, and within each department, there's a certain percentage that each department has that isn't line item, you know, marked, earmarked, and line itemed. And so I think there's a lot of room for more accountability and oversight in spending of our tax dollars that we can be doing in the State House.
Okay, I think we got another call. Good morning. You're online with Cindy.
I think Randy knew the answer to that question. There's a difference of opinion on the role of the Natural Resources Commission, and the Bull Fund has kind of brought this up. Do you believe that these issues should be left to the professionals of the Natural Resources Commission, or left up to both of the people? I'll hang up with this.
Okay.
I didn't hear. I was having a hard time hearing part of his question. Are you still there?
Do you think the Wolf situation should be left up to the professionals rather than the voters?
Oh, because of the ballot initiative,
yeah,
with the Wolf situation. You know, the way Michigan is that the voters are able to bring things to the ballot and put that to a vote of the people. And so that's the way. That's the opportunity that the people in Michigan have. And so I guess, you know, I'm not going to be the one to decide what can and what can,
yeah,
be brought before them. If that is a big issue that they want to have the voters decide, then I'll leave that up to them.
One of the big issues is the seem like eternal rising of the auto insurance rates. You got anything to add to that?
I do. I would like to see auto insurance reform.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I've talked to voters, that key word has kind of ring some warning bells with some of them, because there's concern about the different lobbyist industries and the insurance industry. And, you know, anytime you talk about reform, and I think we definitely need reform. We have one of the highest insurance, you know, auto rates in the nation. But there's always concern about that everyone wants to put their hand in the pie.
Right.
You know what I mean? And what is that going to look like on the other end of it? You know, when everyone's kind of pulling it apart. And so I think when we do any of those kind of reforms, and this is why I hope I get sent to Lansing, because I think we need people in there who are going to be fighting for the taxpayer and fighting for the resident and willing to stand up to the lobbyists and the special interest groups. And there's such a lack of that sometimes, you know, that concerns me, and that's where I have the strong track record of standing up to them.
Another call. Yes, you're on the line with Cindy.
Well, good morning, Duke. Thank you for taking my call. Cindy, I certainly hope you get sent to Lansing, too. You seem like a breath of fresh air, and I think we need a little bit of that in our state capital. I appreciate everything you said, and I don't know if that earlier caller, that Randy, was your competitor or not, but it sure gives me another good reason to pull the ballot next to your name tomorrow. So I wish you the best of everything, and I've been very impressed with your answers and your calmness, and I just wish you the best and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too. And
scientists have long debated whether heredity or environment has the biggest impact on babies. Here are some surprising answers. I'm Pat Carroll for Parents Magazine with Raising Our Kids.
Okay, we're here with Cindy. I don't know how that got in there.
I was just going to say I really appreciated that call, because we've worked really hard. It's important to me to be transparent and honest and straightforward. You know, I expect that from my representatives, and that's the way I hope to be. And so I've done nine town halls in the last 2 months around my district, and I would continue to do town halls. And I've just really worked hard to be upfront and honest about where I stand on all the issues, and so the voters really know me and know clearly when they go into that ballot box, you know, what I stand for.
Have you ever run for office before?
I've run as a precinct delegate in the last election, and I won. So I'm precinct delegate. I ran as a co-chair for the top position within the Republican Party, the state Republican Party, and the gentleman and I that ran for that last year, we lost only by 32 votes, so we came close to that. I am the presidential elector. I ran for that also last year and won, and that's in the Electoral College for the 6th congressional district, so I'm in there. And I've worked really hard for a lot of other good candidates that have conservative values and Judeo-Christian values and principles that I believe in. And so so when I was able to start campaigning, I kind of had a lot of experience helping others under my belt.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time here. We've got to make way for things coming up. I thank you very much, Cindy, for coming in this morning and talking to us and making the people aware of how you stand on the various issues. And that's very important, because I want people to go to the polls with some knowledge about the candidates, and that has been lacking. Do we have a call? Good morning, you're online with Cindy.
Hey, Cindy. Just a question. I'm wondering what you're going to follow and do. I mean, are you going to be about what the people want? Because nobody wants Common Core. The common people do not want Common Core. But the government's shoving it down our throat. We didn't want Obamacare. They're shoving it down our throats. They're supposed to be for us, by us. We elected them to do what we wanted. Are you going to do what we want or what you think is best for us?
I look first and foremost at the Constitution and would follow that. Secondly, after that, I'm a limited government person. And so I feel I'm right there with you as far as I'm tired of top-down policies and laws getting shoved down our throats. And I have that track record of fighting against Common Core and against Obamacare. And so I am going in there as a limited government kind of person. And so when the voters will have a choice in this election, and the choices are clear. They can go with some of the other candidates that are not for that limited government and that are more moderate, or the conservative approach where individual liberty and freedom should prevail.
I got to ask this. Are you alongside Trey Gowdy?
I love
Trey Gowdy.
Trey Gowdy in the House. That's a...
Yeah, that's House Representative. Do you believe what he believes?
I'm sorry, I don't know Trey Gowdy.
Oh, you got to see him on the internet. He is a fantastic attorney. He is a lovable young man.
Okay.
I will check him out. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again for being our guest this morning here on Talk of the Town. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Juke.